We are the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, let's just say the 6 o'clock news will never be the same again. The days of Walter Cronkite and three network channels has long passed. Well, journalism has morphed into news, opinion, and ideological rants, all passed off as unbiased, honest news. This is Malcolm Out Loud here. So your search continues for the Out Loud truth. I get it. Well, here it won't be just the news. It'll be how we discuss the news. A drive time show you can count on weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We call it Nozzle. World news, political talk, stories that impact your health. Honor our heroes, stories that'll inspire you. What you'll hear next is the heartbeat of the people. The hottest topics, the news stories that trend. It's time, friends, for a new stream of consciousness. It's Nozzle. Hey, George, have you seen in your, in your lifetime, have you ever seen a president pick a campaign manager this early?
Well, no, I haven't. I think it was Obama did one 8 months out. But look around you, the situation around you, already there are candidates on the Democrat side starting to make noise like they're going to run. What Trump did was a political move. He just told them, well, come on, show your hand because I'm running and there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
I think it was a tremendously ingenious strategy, because he's going to knock some people out of the box before they ever start.
Ilana, it's funny, but it's like he does everything so unorthodox, doesn't he?
Yeah, I love it. It's just, it makes politics fun again.
He's not a politician.
No,
he's not a politician. But he's a strategist. And even though he's very unorthodox in his presentation, his strategies are very savvy. And I think this was a very smart thing to do, even though it's totally off the wall.
It's totally off the wall. Georgia, hear what she says, what Ilana says, and I think she's right. Off the wall.
Totally agree. Well, the objective was to put all those Democrats on notice that there's no one else going to stand against him or win, because he's already running. So they can expect every campaign stop he has or a speech he makes to be a campaign speech, like that one he made a couple of days ago to the CPAC. That was a campaign speech. That's all he was
wonderful
doing,
too.
His campaigning.
You know what he's going to do? Anybody who steps up to the plate on the Democratic side is going to earn a nickname right away.
It's not going to be
a very favorable one.
Well, that's his brand. He calls everybody names. I know.
I still can't get over Little Marco. I use it all the time.
Little Marco, and then he was calling Adam Schiff Adam Schiff. He changed it up just a little bit there. Obviously that's very offensive to a lot of people. It's not offensive to you two, I take it, huh?
No, not at all.
I don't know that. I was offended when he was doing it initially,
right?
But particularly to members of his own party. But listen, it's very successful, and you can't argue with success. He made it work.
The guy he's got now is campaign manager Brad Parscale. It was the digital media director, which was very successful for them in the 2016 campaign, guys. He ran the digital campaign. Now he's going to be the whole campaign manager. I'm just hoping, like hell, Ilana, that he doesn't have connections to Russia.
Well, you know, if the Democrats can find it, if it's there, they'll find it. They're going to look for it for sure, but it's not sure. It's not clear that it's going to be useful, because I think that's almost that's beating a dead horse already.
Well, it is, but it's funny the way that works out that way. I mean, it's like everybody that has touched them has in some way, shape, or form been involved in Russia. You know, Manafort, and you've got Gates, and you got, you know, in other words, I mean, all you have to do today is have, Russian soup, and you'd be accused of dealing with the Russians. George, I mean, you don't have to do anything today. Just the word Russian.
No.
Like Russian Monopoly, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, I'm almost hate beets now because of the borscht.
I'm not drinking Russian vodka anymore either, guys. I mean, come on,
you silly man.
They'll be after me here.
You can't ruin potatoes.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the one thing that is a shame about all this is that the stuff comes out, it's picked up by the phony media out there, and it's spun for the progressive talking points. But the problem is that when you have people like Manafort and Gates, who actually were involved in some very shady operations with, I think, the Ukrainians, what they're not saying is that as soon as Trump found out about this, they were off his campaign. And that was way in August 2016, long before he was elected.
Yeah, but so, it's all got murky at this point. It's all like, you know, you're right, Ilana, that none of that should have been a problem until it was a problem, right? I mean, it's not a problem until it was.
Yeah.
Well,
go on.
I have George, to say this. Have you read his book? He does not wait for people to screw up where it's going to take him down.
Right.
On purpose. If he sees the problem, he corrects it. That's his business plan. That's his model. It's in his book.
Well, you know, George, interesting. Ilana refers to him, and I like the way she kind of referred to him as a strategist. You don't hear that a lot, but he kind of sort of is a strategist, George, right, in many ways.
Well, he's a natural.
Exactly.
He's a natural one.
Exactly. He's not put on at all. Here's what I'm wondering, though, on this whole campaign thing. All right, typically with a presidential election, we get sick of it pretty quick, guys. I mean, come on. People say, oh, my God, that election is still going on. And, like, we all pray that it gets over quick because it's 24/7, you know, balls to the walls with election. Well, if this guy is starting the election 3 years out from the next general election, this is going to be the longest election cycle in the history of mankind, Ilana Friedman. What do you say to that?
I think you're right, and I think it's going to be a very colorful one. But at the same time, he has set himself up with some issues because on the one hand, he's going to be campaigning, and the other one, he's the leader of the free world, and he has got to be the president. And that may cause some conflict in his administration. So because he's going to have a conflict of interest in some things. One is to carry on the business of state, and the other is to get reelected, and he's going to try to do both. And that may be a little problematical for him.
It could be interesting. Hey, another story that's hot this afternoon here is, and I'm sure you probably both are up on this, the governor of Oakland, California, the Oakland mayor, actually, she alerted the illegals to ICE raids. It was all over the videos and stuff on the internet that she it went on camera. I seen her talk about it, and now she's the mayor of Oakland, right, guys?
Yes, that's right.
Yes, the mayor. I don't know why they said governor of Oakland. What the hell does that mean, George? That's weird.
It's an uneducated press reporter. Simple as that.
They have governor of Oakland. That is weird. Anyways,
They're not. The press is not doing anything wrong these days. They're getting all their information right, and they're not spinning it at all.
Well, I was just seeing this from The Wire, and I say, it's not governor of Oakland. Get out of here. I mean, unless that's some other fancy poobah title of some sort. But anyways, so she comes out, the mayor, and she alerts all the illegals that they don't have to subscribe to the ICE raids. They don't have to participate, and they don't have to answer the door. I mean, this is unbelievable. I mean, what are we going to do with this business of these sanctuary cities in California? But now the mayors are coming out, and they're just telling people to. How is it they protect illegals like this, George? What? How does this work where they even get away with it? I mean, and why do you know? And listen, I know it would be a real hullabaloo, but, you know, the feds, isn't that a crime, what she's doing here?
I think so. I think it's a crime. I think the governor, Moonbeam Brown, is a criminal, and it will come back. It will come back to haunt them. They're losing revenue. That state is losing revenue.
Big time.
Oakland, where she is the mayor, has no base. It has very little base anymore for taxing people. Everybody in it is sanctuary city candidates or the poor. You know, you can't run a good organization without money.
That's right.
And you can't tax people if they don't have it. And people are leaving California now, with money.
What do you think of those threats that the Trump admin threw out, I think about maybe a week or two ago, where he said, we'll stop funding, we'll shut all the money off into California? What do you think of that?
Well, that's a warning.
It was part of a part of a strategy, I think. Another strategist, right?
Sure, it is. Sure.
Strategic move. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look, the people who are in charge in California are breaking about a huge number of federal and state laws, doing what they're doing with their sanctuary cities and with.
Well, is anybody really in charge there, Alana?
Mayor Schaaf did.
I mean, who the hell's in charge there?
Well.
I mean, the kids are running the shop, I'm saying. There's nobody in charge left. I mean, I think they all left.
The inmates are running the asylum. Because this isn't sane. They are favoring the illegal immigrants, many of whom, as we've seen, are people who have carried out felonies against fellow citizens, not fellow citizens, but against citizens. And they are the ones that people like Schaaf is protecting, and the problem is that she's not giving her full support behind the citizens of California or the citizens in this case of Oakland. She's protecting the illegals. Wow. That's insane.
Yeah, no, I mean I don't get it. I really don't understand how they get away with it. Number one, and two. Why do citizens allow their politicians to back up the illegal trade by any stretch of the... I don't even understand why any Democrat or whoever they are, why would anybody even allow that? I mean, I would take that politician up on charges immediately or get them impeached or something, throw them out of office. I mean, that's insane.
But they keep reelecting them.
They keep reelecting the same cats.
And so, you know, maybe the insanity runs through the community. It's very hard to understand. But I would suggest to you that this whole policy is going to get them deep trouble that nobody's going to come out unscathed.
Oh, that's it. I asked that question to someone the other day, and they said to me that, well, all the people that had intellect have left the state. I said, wow, no kidding. I mean, that's what they said to me, Alana. I mean, all the people with intellect left the state. I don't know what that leaves left there. You can just do your imagination. But anyways, well, listen, another thing this afternoon, the president's on Twitter, of course. Like, that's a new day at all, right? Of course. But and he's crying witch hunt on the ongoing Russia investigation. Two tweets I want to read you here. So he says here, so the comment came, and we got communications director, Hope Hicks, is in the, she's also in the news this afternoon. I want to talk about her. But the tweets were this. Trump says, I've been skeptical about the collusion and obstruction claims for the last year. I just don't see the evidence in terms of the collusion. It's all a bit implausible based on the evidence we have. And he has that in quotes in Trump's tweet. And Jonathan Turley says that, he says there. Jonathan Turley on Fox News says that, and he puts that right in the tweet itself. And another one he says, we've seen no evidence of collusion. I have seen nothing. The firing of James Comey and all of the aftermath that suggests the president has obstructed justice because he's exercising his power as the president of the United States. I just don't see it. Judge Kenneth Starr said that. Those tweets don't amuse you, or they don't bother you or concern you at all, George, do they? I mean, that's pretty normal business, isn't it? And you agree with them, I'm sure.
Yeah, I agree with that. But so lacking evidence of collusion, Mueller's now moved again into the field of obstruction of justice. Mm-hmm. And that's why he's calling Hope Hicks.
I don't know what he's going to do. I'm wondering now. But obviously, she's not talking, they said. I mean, what I'm seeing on reports are she's not talking at all, and she's not going to say anything from the inauguration period forward. So she's kind of
Some questions she's not going to answer, period.
Exactly.
From the time of the inauguration.
Well, what's happening is she doesn't trust them. She clearly, nobody trusts them. I mean, obviously she's up
blame
on...
Her.
Yeah, she's a communications director. What the hell's there to trust? I mean, come on, you know? And there's so much more going on this afternoon, I want to tell you. And by the way, today, if you didn't know, this is National Pancake Day. So if you didn't have pancakes this morning, you better catch up on that as well.
I certainly will. I'll have them for dinner.
Have them for dinner. You know, they do that now, Alana. You can get at a restaurant waffles and chicken. You know, my son got that recently at a restaurant. It's a fancy dish, you know.
That sounds good.
And you know, the funny thing about when you order, like at a fancy, like any place, so you order waffles and chicken, they charge you like a premium entree fee. So it's like, you know, $25 for waffles and chicken.
But if you order it for breakfast, it's really...
I was going to say, you get it for $5. You get it for $4.99. Yeah, right. I mean, you order it for dinner, you got to open up your wallet. It's just not fair. I'm telling you the whole thing. But anyways, Pancake Day, if you missed it this morning, you'll have to pay 4 times as much to have it for dinner. And then there's this interesting that's kind of going all over the place, this YouTube video I want to play, sort of a kind of a patriot, kind of a grunt-style patriot, but it was all over YouTube this afternoon. I want to play that as well for you a little bit after here. We'll play that live, actually, on the program. And then, of course, one of your favorites is in the news today. Barbara Streisand sat down for an interview with Variety, the latest issue of that magazine there, you know. And she comes out, and she blames the shooting on Trump. She has a lot to say about it. She actually blames the president for this, and some other interesting things that, not that you give a rat's ass or not, but she had her dogs cloned as well. So I know you're all on that page, huh, Ilana? What's trying to say?
Oh, well, she's so far off. She's so far off the left, she's fallen off into the ocean.
Well, she's off the reservation.
She's just unbelievable. Anybody who has their dogs cloned, I mean, really.
She had her dogs cloned. She's got 2 dogs, Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet. I got to tell you that whole story later on. Anyways, Ilana, take 15 seconds, please, and tell our folks here who you are.
Oh, well, gee whiz. I'm Ilana Friedman. I've been an intelligence analyst for over 20 years, working mainly in the area of counterterrorism, particularly concerning the Islamic terrorist threat in the West and to the West. This is an area that spills over into politics, law, education, and many more areas, and that is what makes it so fascinating.
Yeah, that's you do a good job. George, take 14 seconds, please, and tell us about yourself, please.
Is that enough? I'm just an old cop. I started with the California Highway Patrol after the Army. I was regular Army back in the 60s before Vietnam, but I am retired special agent of Naval Criminal Investigative Service. I ran the CECI, which is counterintelligence, counterespionage shop in London, England, back in the Cold War days, the 80s. And so I live up here in the North Georgia Mountains where I want to be.
Yeah. When you were a cop out there, by the way, in California, was you in Southern California or Northern?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was. And then I went to San Jose for a year, and then I was in L.A. just in time for the Watts riot, my first experience in public rioting. So we moved to San Jose just in time for the free speech riots at Berkeley with Mario Savio. And so then I took a resident post in Lake Arrowhead.
George, somehow I have a hard time seeing you in California, I have to tell you. It just doesn't match my mind. I don't know why I'm having troubles, but I just can't connect those two. You'll forgive me here this afternoon. More nozzle in a minute, friends.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I think Sheriff Israel is a disgrace to the badge and he should be fired. In fact, I think he should be prosecuted because his policies seem to have been to do nothing in the face of information about criminal activities and reports of possible danger to the community as they related to teen offenders. It was his policy to give a pass to teens and the outcome was that 17 students and teachers died violently in a massacre that should never have happened. I'm really angry about it. I'm angry because I believe, and very few people understand this or are carrying this out, terrorist. I believe that a shooter, a school shooter, is a terrorist and has to be dealt with the way in which you deal with a terrorist attack.
Absolutely. What take we them have get done, them waterboard them.
Well, I'll tell you something. What we have done, the federal government has come up again with a one-size-fits-all program called ALICE. And ALICE is a program where ALICE means it stands for Alert, Lockdown, Inform, Counter, Evacuate, in that order.
Right.
Now, that is patently absurd. Every school is different. Every school has a different number of doors. Sometimes the classrooms have doors to the outside. There are all kinds of conditions that could impact how you behave in this kind of a situation. And the idea that you would have one size fits all, and not only for schools, but for police, for healthcare, for higher education, business, government, houses of worship, and they all have to do the same process. It's absurd and it's dangerous.
Well, Ilana, guess what?
I think our cops need to be trained in counterterrorism.
All right, that's a great point. I want to talk about that in a moment. But, you know, I got a program just like ALICE. Guess what it's called?
What?
It's an acronym. It's called KILL.
And so we kill
the bad people. Yeah, we kill the terrorists and stuff. Hey, by the way, George, the only problem I really have with Sheriff Israel is he's given Israel a bad name.
Yes, he has.
Well, that may be. Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because I have in my notes here the fact that, you know, he's doing all this grandstanding against the NRA for that shooting, like everybody. He's just following the pack is what he's not a leader. He's a follower. But do you know that there's a Muslim deputy named Nasser Hamzi. He's the leader of the Hamas-related council, the CARE.
Yep.
He's a deputy sheriff in Broward County, and he is giving lessons,
yep,
firearms lessons, to a mosque, one or two mosques in South Florida. Now, and he does it because Sheriff Israel is letting him do it.
Yeah, we played that clip, the YouTube video, where he's in the mosque. And by the way, he's in the mosque in Tampa, Florida, by the way, okay?
And Tampa.
That's the video. And
that's not scary at all.
Well, what's that? It's not scary?
I said that's not scary at all.
What do you mean? I'm peeing my pants. What do you mean it's not scary? Okay.
It's damn scary.
Well, this character, I mean, I played the video. We talked about this yesterday on Now, so George, you bring up a valid point. What you're saying is that they're into some very unscrupulous things here.
He's lost the faith of his people under him. Nobody trusts him. How can you trust somebody who follows Obama's and
well,
Holder's rules?
Well, yesterday, the pictures of him shaking hands with Hillary Clinton and all the pictures of him with left were all over the internet, by the way, all over the place, yeah? I mean, you know, so people are onto it, obviously. So let's talk about this a little more, the Broward County. This is unbelievable. This massacre is still, you know, one of the things that worry me, George, when we talk about this whole thing, when a terrorist incident like this happens, and Ilana has it right. These are terrorists. Absolutely. They're domestic terrorists. I don't give a shit where they come from. I don't, you know, they're still terrorists. I mean, they're terrorizing people every moment. This is what they do. We should have a special place for these kinds of people. Another thing that's wrong, friends, I'm telling you now, and, you know, I seen a guy, a psychologist, on the television yesterday, and I'll tell you, I don't watch a lot of TV, George, Ilana, because it drives me crazy. But when I'm on there, I channel surf between all of the screwballs, you know, between Rachel Madcow, between Hannity, Hannah Watt, and between the Fox, the CNN, the MSN, and the rest of the nut jobs, the network channels. And I'll tell you, so one of the channels I was on, they had some really brilliant psychologists on. And this psychologist was engaged with talking about the fact, well, one of the problems with society is that we're celebritizing these terrorists. So what we do is that, and he's pinned it on the media, clearly, because the media is a culprit here, we show their pictures all over the news. Now, remember, these people psychologically are very angry. They're lost in life. They want to be noticed. They want to be noticed. They want people to pay attention to them. They want their views to be heard, whatever they may be. And they have a very bad outlook, and they want to kill people to get noticed. So when the media puts their pitches all over the media, Ilana, then what happens is, and then they start saying their name, they're giving them their, you know, 5 minutes of fame. In some cases, like these cases, it's, you know, it's a lot more than 5 minutes of fame. And I'll tell you that no sooner played on the news channel, I'm telling you, and the host agrees. Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right. Oh, yes, you're right, Mr. Psychologist. Oh, damn, you're right. I'm telling you, he goes by there. It goes to commercial. The program comes back, and right away they put the picture of the terrorist right on the screen, and they start
right
announcing
there.
His name. I said, son of a bitch, have we learned anything this afternoon or what?
You know, there's a conservative host, radio host, in the Midwest, who has made a special point of saying that he does not mention this guy's name and he does not put his picture on his website. And he's very serious about it, and he will never do it, he says.
We've never done it for years here. They're not on America
Out
Loud.
You know, in Israel, when they count the... very often the terrorists are killed in an attack. Mm-hmm. And when they count the number of dead, they do not include the terrorist.
Sometimes they do, but they don't, you're saying?
No, they do not count him in the number of dead.
So,
you know,
okay.
So many people were killed in this attack, and they give the number of
right.
innocents.
Yeah, but
that does not include the terrorists.
Well, the terrorist didn't die in this case; he lived.
Well, no, of course not. But yeah. The point, what they're doing yeah. is not considering the terrorist as a casualty.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, if he's not killed, it's a non-issue. But a lot of times you will see. Or you will hear the broadcasters say there was a terrorist attack, the terrorist was killed, he was neutralized, or he was whatever terms they used, and then they'll give the number of casualties, and he will be included.
Well, I see them do that all the time. I know.
So,
but the trade-off is that now we're going to have to spend millions of dollars trying this guy over the next decade. He doesn't want the death sentence, so he doesn't want to die. Which is unbelievable. And this is what really irritates me. So here's what I'm saying. This is an expensive lesson. George, I hope like hell they get something out of this guy to make this worth it. I don't know what they could possibly get. I'm not sure, unless we dedicate his brain to science and we try to find something, some magic bullet in there that will allow us to stop future ones. I'm not sure what we'd get from this guy. What? Tell me.
You don't need to do that. You don't need to do
then
that.
Then kill him.
There's no magic bullet in there.
Then kill him. Then why are we bothering? We know the guy did it.
There's drugs in his brain. He's been drugged from a youth. From a youth. You know how much money is spent by the NRA, $20 million, the past 10 years, according to the Open Secret people, to sponsor programs that they like? Big Pharma has spent $2.5 billion over the last 10 years lobbying in Washington, D.C. These kids are being drugged to death. And even that boy called the sheriff's department, said, come and get me and get my guns. And nobody did it. So you can't blame him for being a loose
cannon. George, you're exactly right.
Because he is one, but it's drugs that did it.
George, you're exactly
right.
And
he made it very clear what he had in mind.
Absolutely. These psychotropic drugs are the problem. I absolutely believe it. And George, thank you for saying that. Big Pharma is a problem. And I'm telling you, the billions and billions and billions of dollars they spend and they get away with it. George, you're so right to bring that point up. The NRA, like you say, they spend a piddle and nothing compared to these jackasses. And they get ridiculed from here to kingdom come, right?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
These people have death and hate in their eyes. I mean, they're like George was talking about the psychotropic drugs. They have death and hate in their eyes. Who in their right mind, as a civilized, law-abiding citizen and a God-loving person, who wants to sit and watch those people? I don't want to watch those on the news. When those pictures come up of those cats, I find it detestable. I got to turn it off. I got to shut it off. I do not want to see them. I don't want to see their hate. I don't want to bother with that. And I don't want my kids seeing that, Ilana. It's rubbish.
Yeah, but this is sensational news, and this is what the news media thrives on, and maybe their audience does too. I don't know, but it seems to me that it makes the situation worse because those who are out there in the audience who are unstable, are given incentive to go out and do something to exacerbate the evil. And I just don't see it being appropriate or right, you know, in the area of right and wrong. It's not right to be sensationalizing these people who have created so much evil.
No, and they're doing it, and they're going to continue to do it. I don't see it ever stopping, because these people can't help themselves. The media heads I'm talking about and all of this.
Right,
I mean,
this
is what they make news out of. But, you know, there's another point here, George, Ilana, and it's a point that, you know, we often scratch our heads, both of you. You're always sending me brilliant columns, brilliant write-ins, articles, stuff, comments. You're on Viewpoint, other things. I get it. You're patriots. I understand. But you know, here's the thing. We always scratch our heads and we say to ourselves, like a lot of people out there listening right now, a lot of the patriots out there, we say, well, what's going on with the country? Oh, man, I can't figure this out. Oh, man, this is like really bad. Or, oh, man, the vitriol is really, really ugly. Or, Jesus, it always been this way. Oh, that damn Trump. What the hell's the matter with that Trump? Oh, it's all about him. And so, yeah. And this is a conversation that's going on like every day. And everybody's worried about the country, what's happening to it. Nobody can figure it out. Nobody can figure it out, George. And I got it figured out. I got it figured out. Go ahead, George.
Well, you know, we don't mention the bad guys if we can help it. But why would we mention Barbara Streisand?
Exactly.
Or Michael
exactly.
Moore or George Clooney?
I love it.
We give
all right, point taken, Your Honor. Point taken.
Why is it that Americans think that people who spend their lives and earn their livings in the area of fiction and fantasy know anything about politics that we should be listening to?
You know why we mention it, Ilana? You know, let's answer George's question. Ilana, you help me here. Answer George. You ready? We'll do it in unison. We do it. We mention people like Streisand because it's entertainment, George.
It's entertaining. It's
entertainment. For most of the people out there, they find it funny. You know, but then again, you know, they may find,
it's not funny. It's not funny because it's changing the cultural mindset of this country.
I'm laughing. It's not funny, but
I'm being a bad boy here. You take Hollywood, which glorifies violence, particularly gun violence.
Right.
And yet these
same actors
come out and speak out against gun ownership.
This I don't understand. This I do not understand. I do not comprehend this.
It's a fantasy.
I don't understand it. Why have we... That's what I'm
saying.
Follow
the money.
Follow the money. Follow the bullshit.
Follow the money.
Follow. It's more than money. It's bullshit at this point. And I'll tell you another
They are so full of themselves.
Yeah, well...
And they're so full of their importance in the grand scheme of things. And they really are very unimportant, and they're very... insignificant when it comes to the areas of right and wrong and what's good for America, and they've got it all backwards, but
well,
they don't care because they think they are the center of things.
Yeah, I know, but you know, the whole thing is there used to be something called entertainment, guys, entertainment. There used to be something called movies and actors and stuff, and they didn't always put, you know, Coca-Cola in your, you know, Cheerios, you know? I mean, and now you got all of this happening. You got to drink the Coca-Cola in your Cheerios, and it tastes like you know what. It don't taste good, man. You know, it's not a good program. You know, the problem as a whole with the country is not real complicated. And George, you're always talking about these things because you're a bit of a political commentator junkie who's a bit of a psych. You kind of look at things from a psychology standpoint, because you can tell by your write-ins. You know, Ilana, how, you know, when somebody writes a certain way, a certain style, you know, he's always trying to figure them out like three steps ahead. You know what I mean? Or, you know,
that's a good thing.
It is. It is a beautiful thing. It's like a whodunit game with George, you know. You read his writings and stuff, and then you kind of connect, you start to connect the dots. But, George, you're kind of all over this. But a lot of the problems is, let's figure this out. So the framers, as I said on another radio program the other day, they got to be rolling around in their graves. I mean, the cemeteries have got to be so restless at this point, because here you've got this thing called Congress and Capitol, and you know you've got the Hill up there, you've got Washington D.C. We elect all these people to office. They sit up there. When we elect them to office, guys, they're not really that wealthy, and we don't pay them a lot of money. I mean, we pay them, you know, what is it, like a buck and a half or something they make a year or something like that, George? whatever, right?
Something like that. Well, yeah, Congress makes, I think, 150,000.
Something like that, 150,000, right? Well, give or take 10,000, 20,000. All right, it's in the neighborhood. It's not. We're not paying them millions of dollars is all I'm saying, right? Right? Correct?
Right.
All right. But isn't it funny they all leave Congress as multi-millionaires and some billionaires many times? Now, how do you think? Let me put my brain on a minute. How does that work, guys? I don't understand. George, would you explain that to me, please?
Well, they've joined. If they're going to just be there and be honest, they're never going to get a job making decisions. They're just going to be there to vote. I'm talking about congressmen. There to vote. You will vote the way that you're told to vote, and that's why many of them are leaving. Like Trey Gowdy, he said he's not going to stay around.
No, he's
just there to vote.
He's done. We ought to put bots up there to run Congress, Alana. What do you think about putting bots up there? Artificial intelligence. We got no freaking intelligence now. Why not have artificial?
There's no intelligence. There is a great deal of corruption. I think I told you that a while ago I ran for Congress, and I ran against a guy.
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know, was essentially a political hack. And he was...
Wasn't it Joe Shit the Ragman you ran for? Joe Shit the Ragman, his name was, you told me?
No, his name... I can tell you his name. His name was Marty Meehan. And he was one of the authors of the campaign finance reform bill in Congress.
He was one of the original minions then on that movie.
Yes, he
the
was.
Minions.
And he was a political hack, and he went in and he ran for Congress, and he ran on a term limits basis, term limits platform. And then, of course, he stayed there forever. But the point is that he retired in the middle of a two-year term. He was there for, I think, four or five terms. And in the middle of his last term, he just said he got a better job offer.
So why did he just leave because he had a better job?
He retired with a $5 million war chest.
Wow, so that tells you right there. But you know what I'm surprised in with your story is that he retired, because they never hardly ever retire. I mean, Trey Gowdy.
He retired because he was offered such a good job from the University of Massachusetts.
Well, it had to be, because George is saying with Trey Gowdy and then Jason Chaffetz and many of these others now are pulling out of Congress, that's highly unusual. Because listen, if you look at historically over the past 20, 30, 40, 50 years in Congress, they don't leave Congress until they're in, again, a wheelchair and an oxygen tank, just like Robert Byrd. They roll their asses out of there. Is that not right?
That's
George,
right.
You said to me 2 weeks ago, take Dianne Feinstein. You said to me, Malcolm, I think she's got dementia. Now, you're hysterical.
What about Nancy Pelosi?
Well, she's got something. I mean, she's got a couple of diseases, I think. What has she got, George? Besides dementia, she's got to have a couple of problems. If she's got any...
Well, that's enough. One's enough. She couldn't hold up to
you think
anyway,
only one?
Yeah. Well, you watch her talk and she forgets who the president is. You know, she'll say Bush when she means Obama, and she'll say Clinton when she means Bush. I mean, these kind of mistakes are typical of people who are worn out. She's worn out. Her brains are worn out. And while she might have been a good politician once upon a time, she's not good now. And I expect that she will be gone. They will push her out. And I think who will push her out are the Latinos in California who think they have a better deal than that DeSoto fellow or somebody else.
Dianne Feinstein has already lost the support of the Democratic Party in California.
Yes, 54-55% not with her. She doesn't even have a majority now. That's amazing.
Well, that's the official
she's been
party,
there forever.
But she does have a majority of the voters.
Yeah, so
have a majority of the
votes. So, George, you think she still gets back in if she wants it? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I think so.
Probably.
If she wants it, the party will come around.
All right, but look at it this way. George, Alana, now hold on. Before you lose your sense of humor this afternoon, look at it this way. I'm going to call you both out right now, both of you. I'm calling you both out. Because if you didn't have Dianne Feinstein, if you didn't have Nancy Pelosi, and you didn't have the Biden group, and you didn't have the Obama, you would have nobody to talk about. You guys should be happy.
Well, you're right. You're right, except that when we talk about them, we are actually perpetuating the humor.
You are, and I'm going to perpetuate something else as well. We're going to have more nozzle in a minute.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, Barbara Streisand also complained that she lost an Oscar because of sexism. And I don't know what that means.
What does
because
it mean?
I have no idea what it means, because the awards are given out to the men and to the women. Huh. So where is the sexism? Anyway, I hate to spend time more talking about her, because it is so bizarre that somebody like this should have, you know, I'd be surprised if she has two brain cells clicking together. She talks nonsense. She does stupid things and says stupid things.
People are talking about her, which is why we're talking about her, is the only
right,
reason.
I get
because
it.
People are talking. That's what happens. That's how this thing works, you know?
You're right, Trude. You're Trude with a thought.
This whole discussion
is useless. You know what we're missing?
What?
We're missing this. Did you know that France and Australia are suing the Clinton Foundation? They want their pride money back. Did you know that a federal judge has ordered the DOJ and the Department of State to give up 1.2 million documents to the justice people, that group that has subpoenaed that? Have you ever heard of Elizabeth Carlyle? Does that name ring a bell?
Mrs. Carlyle's daughter.
Yeah, I know. Mr. and Mrs. Carlyle's daughter. I remember.
She is Loretta Lynch. She flew to Arizona Elizabeth Carlyle. Her email's out of the DOJ, Elizabeth Carlyle. Why are we not talking about that?
Well, we should be. We should be talking about a lot of this stuff.
Well, here's another thing.
I'm sorry.
Here's another thing you could be talking about this afternoon that's breaking right now, and this is going to be a hot story this afternoon, being reported by Reuters. Trump's son-in-law and advisor, Jared Kushner, has lost access to the president's daily brief. Wow.
Well, you know, it actually makes sense, because he has never had full clearance,
okay,
and the daily brief has classified information in it. So if you don't have proper clearance, you shouldn't be there.
Why can't he
and
get the clearance?
It doesn't matter
again,
if he's the president's son-in-law. He needs to have the proper clearance.
Well, you
now,
say it doesn't matter,
no,
but they treat him and Ivanka like it does matter. You understand? I mean, let's be real here. I mean, they haven't had clearance for anything, but they're treated as such because they're royalty.
But they shouldn't.
Well, they're part of the family. They're part of royalty, you know? I mean, that's our royal family.
Neither did Ben Rose. Ben Rose, for 8 years, did not have a clearance.
Yeah, all right. Well, three wrongs don't make a right. They're all wrong. So what? What's the point? I mean, they're all wrong, George, but it doesn't make it right.
Well, it's the President of the United States who calls.
Yeah, but you don't get a right to break. You don't get to break policy, and you don't get to break the rules or the laws. I mean, so listen, I'm just saying, listen, I'm going to flip it around on you. Jared and Ivanka are part of our royalty. That's why they get indoctrinated and they get the rights for that. I mean, are you both going to deny that, or am I onto anything, or no? I mean, they've got treated special from day one. No.
Listen, you know, this was the same situation that occurred with Jack Kennedy and his brother Robert. When he brought Robert into his administration,
right,
there was a huge. Of course, we didn't have Twitter then, but there was a huge amount of very angry discussion about nepotism.
Yeah. Well.
So when Trump brought Jared Kushner and Ivanka into his administration, my view was that it was really poor judgment, because he was just asking for trouble.
Well, do either of you know the reason? Is there a reason? Can you give me a reason why Jared Kushner does not have the proper credentials at this point of time? You said just, George, a moment ago, well, he's president. Okay, well, if he's president, I got it, and the son-in-law is in his big counselor, who's traveling all over the world making deals or whatever he's doing, then why does he not have proper clearance at this point to get these reports in? Do you know, George?
I do not know the answer to that. The clearance process has specific rules.
Something's
he has
up.
An interim clearance. Something's up.
Yeah, something's wrong here. That's all I'm trying to say here. Yeah, he's got interim clearance. Do you know,
Ilana?
Let me
jump in here for a minute.
What?
Because I have actually a little experience in this. I applied for clearance in order to do some Homeland Security work with a company that was ready to hire me.
All right.
And I applied for clearance. The application took about a year and a half. I had at least 7 or 8 interviews. The last interview I had was 3 or 4 hours long with no breaks, and they were very hung up on the fact that I had lived in Israel for 16 years. Now, the last I heard, Israel was an ally of ours, but this was during the Obama administration, and
the State Department
was notorious for being anti-Israel.
Yeah, I mean, they're not an ally. Under Obama, they were not an ally.
That's right. So
they were
anyway,
a stepsister.
It had been already over a year, and I had these interviews, and I waited about 3 or 4 months. And then I got a phone call. We'd like to have you come in for another interview. And she said, it'll be like the last one, only longer.
Oh, wow.
So I said, you know what? You can take your clearance and stuff it.
Well, maybe that's what Jared told them. Maybe he already said that.
Maybe.
Take
but
your
the point is that it's not always straightforward. And this is the point I'm making.
Yeah.
It's not always straightforward. Right. It could very well be that some of the people who were organizing the clearance were not Trump fans. And there's a lot of discretion in there that is either given or taken.
God knows there's been a lot of that out there when she says, George, not Trump fans, there's been a whole a whole Inside the Beltway program for that. Listen, a couple other stories here we got to tell folks about this afternoon, guys. And I want to talk to you more about this wall here. But a United States judge just ruled in favor of the Trump administration on this one, which is amazing. It must not be the 9th District Court, George. but they just ruled in favor of Trump administration in the lawsuit seeking to stop. The administration called from building the border wall. Well, I got to tell you, this border wall has the left up in a frenzy. I had someone on radio this morning that was so upset about the border wall, and they thought we had no right to cover ourselves at all. I mean, we're not supposed to protect ourselves here in the country. I mean, I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. But how long
do you think the wall was already approved? Grow grass there.
Yeah. George, what do you think about this wall? Give me the lowdown. When's it happened? What's going on?
Well, the wall was already approved. Just money for it hasn't been approved.
But then it's not going to. Yeah, but you
approved.
Need money from Congress,
no
or it doesn't happen.
Because the Congress approved it.
Congress has the purse strings.
Congress approved it.
Yeah. So where's the money then? Why? But it isn't funded.
Well, it will be.
All right.
I mean, if they stop funding Planned Parenthood, they could get that wall built in no time.
We could build walls on the north, south, and probably do a fancy boat deck on the left of the west on the east coast, a fancy boat deck into the frickin' ocean, George McClellan. Come on, you know?
That's money.
We'd have enough to go around. We'd put borders all over the whole country. And you know what else I'd like to do is I'd like to put a border wall around the Beltway in Washington, D.C. and lock these sons of bitches in overnight and only let them out when we want to let them out. That's got to be the price to pay for going to Washington. Right, Ilana?
Well, maybe we should put a wall around California, Oregon, and Washington.
Everybody we hate needs a wall, Ilana. Everybody we don't like today. That's the way we got to do it, George. You know, put a wall around it. We don't like it,
well,
we get a wall. Right.
Yeah.
Listen, you're going to love this story as well. Do you remember that actor we used to like who used to do some decent acting until we realized he was a sexual molester and a pervert and a scumbag and a piece of you-know-what? Kevin Spacey?
Which one?
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah,
which one is right?
Oh, yes.
Well, the trustees of the Kevin Spacey Foundation today say the organization is no longer viable. Well, no kidding, Houston.
God.
And will be closing effective tomorrow after the allegations of sexual misconduct against the actor. So get your bids in now. Get your donations in now, people. They're closing.
Alternatively, what are they going to do with all that money?
Well, we know what they should do with it. Buy themselves some new brain cells as to why they're with that guy to begin with. A bunch of lunatics.
They could clone their dogs.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do, but it's you know, I don't get the whole Hollywood thing. I like you said earlier, Ilana, they're all on a different playing field somehow, you know? I mean, it's hard to understand.
The problem, of course, is that they think that they know everything and that they have the right to tell us what to do, and I take great exception to that.
As you should, as you should. So what do you think about Hope Hicks, Ilana? Any more on her today? Do you think that's it with this whole...
No, I don't think that's it, but I think we have to wait and see what happens. She's taking a strong position, you know, and I think it's it may be a principled position, and if it is, then I'd like to see her prevail.
Well, they're certainly entitled. I mean, they don't have to talk. I mean, you can plead the fifth any chance you any time you want, right, George? Democrats do that all the time.
If you remember, from the IRS who tried to make a statement and then take the fifth? Apparently, you have to take the fifth.
Start talking. Yeah, no, that is not apparent. Yeah. That's a fact. Yeah, you can't start talking. You can't even engage them on any level, George. You want to verify this, George? Do you agree with me?
That's right. Yeah, I have to agree with you. You cannot engage them because they think they're locked on their policy. They stick their fingers in the air, and that's the end of it.
Once you start talking,
no moving forward.
It's done.
The secret word is bipartisanship, and that's camouflage for conceding to the Democrats.
Well, it probably is. I know you have strong views on that as well, but. You know, I guess it's the difference between either we have this word in this country, George, Ilana, we call compromise. And it's a really funny word. We throw it around a lot, but I don't really know what it means. The word compromise. What does that word mean, George? And how do we deal with politics moving forward with compromise? Is that gone by forever?
Well, you can't ask a Democrat that either. They don't know what it means, except that it means that you give in to them.
Something that's going on in the White House right now is a very good example of an approach to compromise. And when after the shooting in Florida, Trump brought people to, unlike CNN, which created a riot, Trump brought people to the White House from all sides of the discussion. And he listened. He had what he called a listening session. And I think that's the first step to compromise. You listen, you hear all sides, and then you try to meet somewhere in the middle. And I think that's what he's doing on this issue. And by God, maybe we could learn something from it.
Yeah, maybe. Hey, what do you two think about this other story that's gone viral this afternoon? I would imagine you probably heard about it. This Chicago politician, Benjamin Thomas Wolf, he's a Democrat, challenging U.S. Representative Mike Quigley for the 5th Congressional District of Illinois, and he's smoking pot with a joint in front of an American flag. Did you see that?
Well, you know, pot is legal in a lot of places.
I did not see that, but apparently it's okay.
Our campaigns in this country are going to an all-time low, guys. It's amazing. So he's in this new ad. He's puffing a joint in front of an American flag. I can't make this up.
Is it legal in Chicago?
I don't know. I don't think it is. Is it?
I have no idea.
George, is it legal in Chicago?
I don't go to Chicago. I don't want to be killed.
He tries to avoid it every chance he can. Oh, no, it's not legal. It's not legal. You know what the message is, Ilana? Legalize cannabis. Vote March 20th. Well, that's clear. Huh?
But he's smoking it.
Well, yeah, you can smoke it and legalize it. So he's smoking the joint.
You can't smoke it until you legalize it.
Exactly.
The federal government hasn't legalized it, so even if it's legal in the state, it's not legal in the country. Figure that one out.
But he's out there, and he says there was some quote I seen earlier today about him, and he says that marijuana does a lot of good things for you and what have you. Yeah, it kills your brain cells. I mean, you have that too much, and you're going to be, you know, seeing Wiley Rabbit there running around, you know, your bedroom or something. But anyways, the picture is priceless. He's there in front of the American flag.
I tell you something, the flag is beautiful.
Isn't it? Did you see it? See what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's a nice flag.
I'm looking at it now. It's gorgeous.
Now, do you like it with the smoke in front of it or without the smoke?
No. No, I like it without the smoke. But whoever painted that did a wonderful job.
Well, there's smoking pot in front of it. But that just tells you where...
I get that.
That tells you where the country is.
Legalize cannabis. Vote March 20th.
It tells you where the politics are. It tells you where everything is when you see this kind of thing. And by the way, all afternoon here, I'll tell you, Georgia's favorite comedian, actually, a little bit, singer, Streisand, is still trending all afternoon, guys. I tell you, that's what the country's talking about, George. You know?
Only because the media is putting it up there. I'm not listening.
This is actually social media. I don't know about the media. Well, you're right to a degree. But then pop culture takes it over, George. And when you're dealing with trending topics on Twitter and all, it's whatever's trending. All right, listen. What I want to do is, Ilana, give me your predictions, please. What are your predictions?
Well, first of all, I honestly think Trump is going to prevail. He is pushing all the right buttons in spite of the fact that he has some issues with his opposition. His popularity is growing, and I think his policies are going to work. His policies with Texas, his policy with the whole program of listening. If he's really doing that, I think he is going to prevail.
All right. It's her prediction. He's going to prevail. George, what's your predictions? Take 30 seconds. Tell us.
Well, I think the sheriff of Broward County will be replaced. I think that Trump will win. I think that Republicans have a perfect opportunity now to drive a stake into the heart of the Democrats. The Democrats are already falling apart politically. Everywhere. California is a good example of that. They can't agree on anything. Not all Democrats want to get rid of guns. A lot of them are shooters and hunters. And so I think if the Democrats hang their campaign hopes on the fact that everybody hates Trump and everybody hates guns, well, they're done.
Well, that is quite a prediction.
I agree completely.
We agree on predictions. Big thank you to George and Ilana.
And I have one last one to make. I don't think that John Kasich has a snowball's chance of hell of making president.
Is he running, George?
God. Didn't you read my email I sent out this morning, my essay?
I haven't seen it yet. No, brother. He's going to run? In closing, I'm going to make two predictions now. I'm going to make two. I know I usually only make one, friends, but I'm going to make two in closing here. The first one is I will predict that John Kasich could not win mosquito control at this point, let alone president. That's my first prediction. My second prediction is that we will be here again tomorrow, same time, same place, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Nozzle off.